This morning we'll be reading from Joshua 24, verses 1 and 2, and then 14 to 18. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods." Jumping to verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Blessings, Randy, as you share a message with us.
Because I've been gone for a little while getting married, I've been able to listen to all the sermons and all of our guest speakers. It's really been a wonderful experience. Some of the speakers from our own congregation and some from outside of our own congregation too. And I've kind of been taking nuggets away from each of them. Each one kind of has something that I'm taking away and really been blessed by being able to listen. And there's something really beautiful in the fact that you're not hearing my voice every Sunday morning, I think. We're the body of Christ, and we all have gifts to share. And I'm blessed by all the different people that have been preaching. So thank you to all the people that have been preaching, and I might be tapping some more of you on your shoulders at some point if you feel God might be, that just might be something that you would feel comfortable doing. One of the nuggets that I took away of many as I've been listening to all the sermons online was Rhoda Yost's sermon, and she talked about seeing God, and she asked the question, how are our eyes? How are our eyes? What are we seeing? And she says, may we have hearts that see how God is at work. And I think that just names so much what our summer sermon series has been about. We are looking for eyes and ears and all of our senses to be aware of where God is at work in our world. And as we have eyes to see where God is at work in our world, then we also ask, how can we join God in this work? And so being able to hear stories after the sermons of where we see God at work brings it back to our own lives right here and real life stories. And so as we look at the text in Joshua this morning, my prayer is that we can continue to have eyes that see where God is at work and how we may join God in that work. This text is all about choice and choosing and being chosen. And as I was thinking about that, I just thought on a very basic level, wow, I make a lot of choices every day. We all make lot of choices every single day. This morning, I had to choose what kind of cereal I was going to eat and what kind of milk I was going to use. 2% whole, skim. That's a privilege to be able to choose that, because a lot of people don't have that choice. They're just grateful for some food. I have made a choice in my life of what kind of car I was going to buy. I make choices every day as to what I'm going to wear to go to church or to go to work. I make choices every day of... I've made bigger choices in my life, like where I am working currently, where I went to college, the choice to get married, to be married, and to buy a house. Major, big choices. We make small choices every day, and we make big choices. We choose many things. And many things have been chosen for us. And so I ask the question for the back of our minds as we dig into Joshua. Do we choose our stories, or do our stories choose us? Or maybe I should say it this way. We choose our stories, and our stories choose us. See, I did not choose to be born into the Keener family. That was chosen for me. I did not choose to be born into a family that has material resources, a home, food every morning. That was chosen for me. I did not choose to be born into a family that is part of the Mennonite church for many generations. That was also chosen for me. And so, we choose our stories, and our stories choose us. Joshua 24 is a really popular phrase in this text that I'm sure many of us recognized. As for me and my household, we will choose this day to serve the Lord. It's been written on a lot of different decorations, on signs. It's a phrase that's very popular. And that's great, but one of the dangers in that, I think, is that we can just look at that phrase and forget the larger context in Joshua that it's coming out of. And so as familiar as those verses are, let's dig into a little bit of the context in Joshua to understand it a little bit better. So this is... this is near the end of the book, and actually Joshua is just about to die. And this is one kind of final gathering where he calls Israel together at Shechem. And the purpose is to recommit Israel, recommit them to serve the Lord, to remember who they are and what God has done for them, and to recommit themselves to serve God. And so he calls them to Shechem. And there's a really important section here that we did not read, because it's sometimes just too much to read. But I do want us to just consider really quickly verses 3 to 13 as well. Because before Joshua calls Israel to serve the Lord, he reminds them first of the story that they've come from. And it's really interesting language, because now Joshua, in verses 3 to 13, is talking as a prophet. And so he's talking as if God is saying this to Israel. And it emphasizes what God has done for Israel. And if you look at what it says here, it says, "I brought you out," in verse 5. "I destroyed them before you," in verse 8. "I rescued you," verse 10. "I sent the hornet ahead of you," verse 12. And then it culminates with, "I gave you a land on which you had not labored." This is important, because before Joshua calls them to recommit themselves, he reminds them of the story that they came from. And so here's the first nugget that I suggest this morning. And I would love to hear if there's any nuggets that I missed this morning in share time. We cannot choose to serve God without first remembering the story that we're a part of. In other words, we can't choose to serve God without remembering first that God has chosen us. I, God says, have done this for you. First. And after having reiterated what God has done for Israel, Joshua then introduces a large therefore. Remember what God's done for you, but now therefore. And here is the therefore. It's three commands. Imperatives is the word, and that's the kinds of words these are. Imperatives meaning commands. Revere the Lord, or fear the Lord. Put away the gods and serve the Lord. Put away the gods that your ancestors served and serve the Lord. Wow, it's powerful. And it begs the question, I think, for us today, do we need that same command for us, all of us? They might not be the same gods that the Israelites worshipped for us today, but they are gods in the sense that they compete for our attention and our loyalty, and even our loves and desires. Anything that distracts us from God can become a god in our lives. Why do we do this? Why does Joshua command these three imperatives to fear the Lord, put away the gods, and serve the Lord? Because, first, God has saved them. So again, we ask this morning, for what reason are we here this morning trying to figure out how to serve God and make the community and world a better place? Because we're a part of God's story, where God has first acted upon through Christ. And so one of the questions then that I think we can ask is, how will we remember our own story, our history? And will what God has done for us be the basis of our identity? In other words, how do we tell the stories of our lives? Is it a story that is the life, death, and resurrection of Christ? A story framed around eyes and ears that see God at work in our lives. And I think sometimes it's easy to think about this in individual terms. But in this context in Joshua calling Israel together at Shechem, this is not so much individual language, but this is corporate language of the community together. And so we might better think of the question as this: how can Whitmer Heights, as a people of God, how do we narrate our story of God at work in our lives? This is corporate language here. For Israel, while there certainly may have been people and times that they were serving God and that they were faithful, the reality is that after Joshua, you have the book of Judges, and then you have Samuel, and we also have 1 and 2 Kings, which isn't that far away either. And there are places in there where they're serving God and they're faithful, but most of Judges and Kings is stories of when they're not serving God, of when there are other gods, of when they forget to the immigrant and the orphan and the stranger. And so this is the question I wrestle with, and I'm asking this morning. Here is Joshua calling Israel together to recommit themselves, to remember the story of what God has done for them, and to say, as for this day, we will serve the Lord. And then the next chapters, and basically a lot of the story of Israel, is just over and over and over again, just forgetting and not getting it right. And so we can ask, what will the Lord do? What will God do with people who just forget and forget and forget and fail to serve God? What will God do with the people who choose not to serve God? Well, this is what God did. Even when they didn't choose, God still chose for them. God chose to stay in relationship with them. God chose to show an incredible love in Christ. That God would become incarnate, Jesus, come to earth, teach us how to love God and love others, die on a cross for the sins of the world, rise again into new life for the reconciliation of the world, and offer new life to all who believed in him. That's the kind of God that chose, even when the people did not choose. Do we choose our stories, or do our stories choose us? Indeed, just as Israel forgot the story at times, so I forget the story, so we forget the story sometimes. We forget our identity. We forget that God is at work in our lives. Indeed, we are broken people, stumbling, bumbling along on the journey together. And yet this morning we have a beautiful story in Joshua where just as the people of Israel are recommitting themselves to God and serving God, they still don't get it right always. And yet God's grace has chosen to go ahead of them, chooses to go ahead of us. God's love through Christ that chose us and asks us to choose him. I don't think it's do we choose our stories or do our stories choose us. I think we choose our stories and our stories have chose us. That God's love through Christ is here with us today. And God's love through Christ chosen us, asks us, Whitmer Heights, corporately, will we choose to serve others today? May we choose that all. Amen.